God's grace and His strength be yours today in the Lord. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you for a few minutes about the spiritual gift of music. And that is something that courses through our lives. Music, we all listen to it. Believers and unbelievers, everybody listens to it. It is a gift of the Lord. But today we're going to have a spiritual angle on this from God's Word. He has so much to tell us about music, about its origins, about its power, about being wise with respect to what we listen to when it comes to music. Very important what He has to tell us. And so let's talk about it today and see what He would teach us in the Scriptures. First of all, let's just ask, what is music? Give me an answer. What is music? Music pleasing to the ear. That's one of the definitions here. Next page. Very good. I found these on the internet. Here's this good definition. A sequence of sounds and tunes arranged to produce a melody or a voice or instrument that is pleasant to listen to, is what Ernie says here. Can be expression of your feelings or emotions. This one says the poetry of human expression through sound in time. And so music is taking, I would define it as what's inside of you and putting it outside of you in a beautiful way with tones, with different notes, in rhythm. So I could say, I'm going to preach to you a sermon, or I'm going to preach to you a sermon. So we're making music. I don't know if you like that or not, but who's the creator and the author of music? You all know. God tells us. He's the one who is the original putting together of music. It's from His hand that everything in all of creation sings. He is its original composer, and He's His present conductor. What's the purpose of music? Who knows? According to God and His Word, not just according to the world.
Bring glory to His name.
Amen. Look at that. She just came back today from Texas, and she's already answering. That's awesome. That's right. And it says here in Psalm 150, good job, Gene, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, Psalm 150 says. So in our bodies are actually musical instruments. Right now I'm a woodwind because I have air moving through, and I'm also strings because I have a vocal cord and they're vibrating, creating higher pitches
and lower pitches,
depending on how I stretch and move the strings. Just like a guitar here. So everything that has breath should be praising the Lord. That's kind of nice, isn't it? That's a C.
I see, so I see.
So the purpose, ultimately, of all music is the praise of the Lord and the uplifting of our souls. Even if it's not necessarily, quote, Christian, if it's lifting our souls up to God, that's what we want to be listening to. How old is music? How ancient?
Forever.
Well, yeah, probably forever, because God is a God of music. In terms of creation, if you open up the Bible and look at Job chapter 38, we hear about the very first mention of music in the chronology of the history of the world. We read, God tells Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who laid its measures? Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Who stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone thereof when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Can you picture that at the very beginning when God spoke the world into existence? It says the very stars were singing. That's beautiful. So here's a picture of the stars. Do they sing? The Bible says they were. Now, were those stars in that passage angels, or does it just mean stars? It could be debatable. The stars sing, creation sings, so also perhaps the angels, if those that's referring to angels. They're singing God's praises when He's creating the world by His word of power. At the very first sunrise and at the very first light of the world, there was music. Isn't that beautiful? Who else sings? What else sings? Who can tell me? Birds. Oh, my goodness. You're just as good as the 8 o'clock. The bird. That's good, eh? You heard that? In the morning, God is up there just conducting this beautiful chorus of all the birds of the earth, they're singing to him, and he's given to them some of the most beautiful notes. And here's a bird in the cool air. You can see even the puffs of his air as he's singing in the cool air from the heat from his mouth. Of course, the wolves, they have their own beautiful howlings in the wilderness, very haunting, very beautiful, and they all gather together to sing when one sings. And then the great whales, the creatures of the deep. When I was in fourth grade, I remember just loving this subject, and I had a little record I'd play, and I'd listen to the whale songs. Is that pretty good? They have their own music. They have their own music. God gives to each of his creatures its own song. Different, but putting them all together into this beautiful chorus. What else sings according to the Bible? Ultimately, everything. Isaiah 44 says, "Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it." So the heavens sing, and O depths of the earth shout. Break forth into singing, O mountains. O forest and every tree in it break forth into singing. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and will be glorified in Israel. You know, all of creation is excited and sings for joy at the salvation of Jesus Christ. The trees of the field shall clap their hands, says the scripture. And so God has put music into everything that he's created. And its purpose, again, especially the praise of the Lord. How about us? Should we be singing too? We are the royal sons of God. Namely, that God has given dominion to the sons of men over all the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, etc. So if they're all singing, we are the chief singers in his chorus. So we should definitely be singing as his people. And you know that the Bible's full of verses for us, encouraging us, sing, my people. Sing, says God. I want joy. Lift it up to me. Let's hear the whole place sing. He's the conductor. It says here in Psalm 98, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he's done marvelous things." Psalm 47 says, "Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises." So God's constantly telling us, sing, my people. Somebody out there saying, "But I don't know, I'm not a very good singer." You say that?
Yeah, I know that.
You know that you're not a good singer. How old is singing amongst human beings? You know, we often have this picture from the world, by the way, false, that we come from monkeys and they were just banging on, you know, on rocks with sticks. Of course, some of the modern music kind of sounds like that, unfortunately. But the Bible says it goes way back to the beginning. Jubal, who is the sixth generation from Adam, was already... He was the father of all musical instruments. He was the father of all such as play or handle the harp and the organ. So you have there, organ really is the word for pipe or woodwinds. So you have all that make music by the strings and all that make music by the pipe. He made it all. It goes way back to the beginning. That's fantastic. And what does it tell us in the New Testament is God's will for you and me as New Testament Christians. Ephesians 5 says, don't get drunk with wine. No, no. For that is debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we get filled with the Holy Spirit? One way, it says, is speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. Always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Isn't that beautiful? The conductor saying, sing, my people, sing. But you may think, I'm not a singer, though. I'm not a singer. Well, let me just say this. Maybe you're not the best, or we're not all as good. I don't want to pick on you, but as good as Maya. She's got super talent. We all get different measures of talents. But if only the prettiest bird in the forest sang, the forest would be silent. So you got to sing too, Ernie. You just said you couldn't sing. I put this up here because have you ever heard a Down syndrome child sing? They hit a lot of wrong notes, But you know what? That's the most beautiful music to the Lord, because they're singing from their heart. We sing with fear. Oh, what's other people going to think of me? They have no inhibitions. They just belt it out in praise to God. God says, that's the prettiest song I've ever heard. No fear, just belt it out. Bring up to me a melody. Because God hears differently than we hear. He hears the heart. So let's put our heart into our music, whether you're great or, you know, have a little work to do. Why do we sing music? What makes us sing? Well, let me share a couple stories from when I was on the schooners and the old tall ships in the old days. In Maine, we used to have people board for 6 days, and we wouldn't allow them to bring, of course, there were no phones in those days, but we would not allow them to bring any radios. You know what happens to human beings on a ship after several days when you're not allowed to bring your music? It starts to well up inside of you. People would go around, it was like a musical. People were singing all the time. We'd sing together at night by the mast here with the lanterns, and it was just beautiful with the evergreens off on the islands there off of Maine, the stillness of the stars, and people singing by lanterns. It just united the whole crew and all the guests. It also dissolves fear. I remember one night on a ship like this, I was off of California, and I was actually kind of afraid that night. But there was a friend of mine, shipmate, Don Kiecki was his name, by the mainmast, just leaning up against it, playing his harmonica, really quietly in the night watches. And that just pierced not only the night, but my own fear. And it all dissolved by music. Do you ever use music to keep yourself awake? Don't do it right now. I play music to get myself going, get some music going. Sometimes you play music to put yourself to sleep. So there's all different types of music and uses of music. But the main thing is we want to have music into our ears and in our hearts that is lifting your soul upwards, okay? Towards God, toward noble things, towards love, and not down into the pit. God's people have sung in all kinds of times, always his praises. Moses parts the Red Sea, and what happens immediately after that, says the Bible? Moses sang a song with the people of Israel. Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider, he's thrown into the sea. What a glorious, thunderous chorus that must have been. God's people have always sung his praises, as you've done just even this morning. Martin Luther loved music. He said, beautiful music is the art of the prophets that can calm the agitations of the soul. It's one of the most magnificent and delightful presents God has given to us. It calms you. Martin Luther, always picking on male-female relationships, said, when the devil starts to make you sorrowful and have doubting thoughts, be like the man who is nagged by his wife. And when she snapped at him, he pulled out his whistle from his belt and began to play a happy, merry little tune while his wife bickered on. And eventually she gave up and left and went the other direction. You guys, rough crowd today, rough crowd. Music, rightly sung, can drive away the devil. Despondent thoughts, sorrowful thoughts. Pluck up a merry tune, says the Lord. Don't let the devil get you down. And Martin Luther said, next to the word of God, that's the most powerful, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. That lifts your heart up more than anything else. So we want to be very careful to listen to the right kind of music that leads to nobility and high, beautiful thoughts of God, whether it just be, you know, instrumental or a secular song, but it's got to be lifting you up and not going down. But I want to ask, is all music of God, though?
No.
Can we just listen to anything? Are there any warnings from Scripture about certain things? Well, there's some music we shouldn't be listening to. There is a devil in music. He knows that music is very powerful. He knows it just gets into us. Like, think of this, for example. If you play this one chord, notice I strum it, and even after I've played it, what's it doing? Echoing around in the head of the guitar. Sometimes you hear a song And then, for some reason, it's still echoing around in your soul a couple days later, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where did that song come from? I sung that 3 days ago. It's still boom, 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 reverberating around inside you. The devil knows that. He wants to put into you bad songs and have those echo around inside of you. God wants the good songs to echo around inside of you. So the devil's job to destroy God's people is to either steal music from us so that we hear nothing, or better yet, to put into you his own music in order to bring you down, to spike and arouse your sinful passions. That ever happened in the Bible? Who knows? Sure. Do you have any example? Can you see what that is? Moses and Joshua. What am I talking about? Remember, they're up on the mountain and they're coming down from the mountain, and Joshua's like, I hear something. It sounds like the noise of war. And Moses is like, no, that's not the sound of war that I hear, not the shouting of victory, nor the cries of defeat, but it's the sound of singing that I hear. And they come down, and what are the people doing with their music? Dancing around the idol. Dancing around that golden calf, worshiping the devil. And did they enjoy that music?
Probably.
They were having a blast. It was peppy music, probably. It was great music. They're singing, they're dancing, they're having a great time. And yet it was wicked, because it was drawing their hearts away from God. So the devil has his own music too, doesn't he? Moses, they had a great time until what? Until Moses showed up, right? Then it was a different story. Is there devil music today? You know what? Here's a band from when I was in the 70s when I was growing up. Kiss. You ever hear of them? In fact, they had to change their S's on their Kiss when they went to Germany because that looks too much like the Nazi SS symbol, lightning bolts. Look at how they're dressed here. Is that a little tip off to you? They're dressed like demons, basically. If you look at Wikipedia and describing, because I never watched this band or listened to them, but part of their concerts were huge into pyrotechnics, you know, fire, levitating drums, and blood spitting. They love to spit blood. Now, do you think if you meet a band that likes to spit blood, that would be a band you ought to be listening to? That's a good tip off, wouldn't you say? A lot of musicians in the rock and roll, by the way, have what kind of hair? The men. Long hair. All right, okay. But then, you know, I read in Revelation of the demons that come out of the bottomless pit, smoking and burning like a furnace. What do they look like? Their faces are like human faces, their hair like women's hair, and their teeth like lion's teeth. Looks kind of similar, don't it? Now, am I just picking on that band? Go for some more, thank you very much. No, not the Beatles. Well, let's consider. These guys look much more clean cut, don't they? Back in the day. How about John Lennon, his song, God? Listen to these wonderful lyrics. I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in Jesus. I just believe in me. Would you like to sing that one? Should we sing that this morning? That's an evil music. He's an evil lyric. How about the song Imagine? When they play that, I don't wish I could play it on the guitar. It is so enchanting. It draws you in. You can't stop that piano music, da-da-da-da, you know? But what are the lyrics? Imagine there's no heaven. Imagine, it's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine the world with no religion. Then we'll all live as one. Come along with me. We'll join in this as one. So that's the kind of music that you'd be listening to. Notice there's a lot of music that the devil has. It's very catchy tunes, and you're drawn to listen to it. A lot of the songs I heard in the 80s growing up with the rock music, it's so catchy, you almost can't not listen to it. It's really, really, it gets you going. And yet, then I listen to the lyrics nowadays, I'm like, that's fornication, that's adultery, that's drunkenness. Why am I listening to this stuff? Because that's the lyrics. But the devil... Nice tune. It's an amazing tune. But the devil's using techniques of music in order to get his preaching into you. Because the use of music is to teach, to encourage, to preach to you, to lift up your soul. But the devil's using it often to drag you down. You'd be careful. If you don't really believe this about the Beatles, I hate to put this out there for you, but just to make the point, this is one of their album covers of one of their most famous albums. It says The Beatles Yesterday and Today. I don't know if you can see that far. Hopefully you can't, really, because here, their album cover, they're covered in raw meat, blood, and decapitated babies. Is that maybe a, I don't know, a hint, a tip off that this is not a band that's of God? Do you think? I know they're very popular. AC/DC, growing up, I heard them around. Here is Devil's Horn, that's their album.
Highway to Hell.
I think that's probably a band that's not good. And then, oh, even Bob Dylan. Here he is in an interview with 60 Minutes. This guy, the interviewer, says, "Why are you still in music after all these years?" And Bob Dylan answers, made a bargain to get where I am. Well, the interviewer says, "Should I ask who you made the bargain with?" "With the chief commander," says Dylan. The interviewer is a little unearthed by this. He says, "The commander in this earth?" Dylan answers, "In this earth and the world we cannot see." Now, do you think that's God? How many people make a bargain with God to be a world-famous rock star? He says, even he made a bargain with the chief commander in unseen places. He says he wrote his early music magically. He didn't even know how it came out. It just came out. Is that someone you ought to be listening to? A lot of good music, a lot of catchy tunes. These guys are fantastic artists. But is this, you know, the music we should be listening to? Beware, because the music we listen to is going to affect the state of your soul. Can I share a story about your mom, Beth? Betty? Betty Duda. She shared with me this story. There was a state fair once, and there were fights coming out all over the crowd with gangs. They were getting in a battle. And there was rock music playing all over the place with the loudspeakers. And there were fights breaking out all over the place. Finally, Betty tells me, someone had the bright idea, said, "Change the music, change the music." So they went in and they took off the rock music and they put on like Handel. And all the people are fighting. They're like, "Should we just be friends?" No, I don't know what they said. You cannot fight to Baroque classical music. It changes you. It's powerful stuff, and it broke up all the fights. Do we have to be aware at all? I don't know, Christian, modern music? There's a lot of great Christian modern music. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying you got to be careful, though, with some of this modern Christian music. Now I'm going to throw a real zinger out there for you. Ready? Here's a curveball, if you will. Even Amy Grant, she's got a really, yeah, exactly. She's got a great voice. She's a good-looking girl. She's sung a lot of songs that I really like. Her Christmas album, I've listened to. I've liked it. However, here she is in her music video on What Is Love For? That's What Love Is For. And here she's dancing around. This guy is a guy in a black suit, like the devil. He digs up a guitar from the underworld. He comes over and jams out with Amy before a lusty young couple that's, you know, very lusty. And here she is in a scarlet red outfit with a hood, and she's flashing on her hands, what is that? Golden hexagrams, a six-pointed star. You think that's an accident? And she makes many flashes of the hexagrams to the people. And that is the sign, at least in witchcraft, of the hardest curse you can put upon someone. And I'm like, "Amy, did someone talk you into this? What on earth are you doing? Why would you do such a thing?" Be careful, little ears, what you hear, is my point. Here's another band that I've liked in the past, Jars of Clay, recently. The chief of their band has come out in support of same-sex marriage. "Men marrying men is a wonderful thing," says he. Oh, no, no. Not Michael W. Smith. Well, he's got some good worship songs, too. I think a lot of people have liked it, but I got to ask a question. Do you mind if I ask a question? Michael, why are you writing your name backwards on the top of this? Backwards writing is a sign of satanic activity. Why would you do such a thing? Someone talk you into that? And you're even using runic alphabets up here, which is occultic. What are you doing with that, Michael? Why are you doing that? Maybe it's just an accident. Maybe his agent talked him into it. Here's the M for his name. Here's the T in his name for Smith. Why on this Christmas cover is he in the shape where you have the M there for his Michael and the T for Smith right there? Why is he in that shape based on his backwards writing name at the top? I gotta say, Michael. Hey, Michael, Michael, hey, what are you doing? What's going on here? I'm just saying, not saying you can't listen to things. I'm just saying be careful. Research. Listen to what you're letting into your ears. So there's two different types of music. The ones that lift up and the one that lifts down, brings down. Here's a modern band for you. Should I let entrust my little children over into these guys? This is a Christian band called Demon Hunter. Here's another one called Fireflight. She look like a vampire to you? Kind of looks like a vampire to me. Here's a little hint. I don't know, just a thought. If you see an album cover where people are looking like vampires, I probably wouldn't listen to that music. Just a thought. Do what you want. But you know, a lot of modern Christian stuff in churches today, you turn the lights out in churches and it becomes more of a rock concert. Have you seen that kind of thing where they blow smoke in and they have flashing lights? You know, flashing lights is a rock music move in order to put you into a trance, an altered state of consciousness, to make you susceptible to what is the message of the music. The message of the music often, well, always, according to rock stars, is the backbeat is a sexual beat. As opposed to, that's how we sing. But the backbeat is, they all say it's sexual, it's driven. Is that going on in a lot of churches today? Contemporary Christian music, I like some of it, and if you guys like it, listen to it, but listen carefully, because it's a big industry. Are you going to be able to put very careful doctrines, do you think, Kevin, into contemporary Christian music where you want to make as many people buy it as possible? You ever hear a song about baptism? About the Lord's Supper? About repent? You don't hear it, because that would destroy making a lot of money. So I'm not saying you can't listen to certain stuff. I'm just saying, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down with love. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful what you're listening to. The old-time songs were very much of a march. You know, come we that love the Lord and let our songs be known. We're singing, we're marching like an army. A lot of the modern songs, it's like, yeah, you're dancing. And some of the songs are very sexy that I listen to. They're supposedly about Jesus, like, I'm desperate for you, I'm desperate for you, I'm desperate for you, I'm lost without you. At the end of the song, she says, Jesus. I'm like, wow, I thought she was talking about me. You can listen to whatever you deem lip-lifting to you in the faith. I'm not saying, you know, throwing a judgment over all this stuff. I'm saying be careful, because there's music that sometimes is very enticing but doesn't have the best lyrics for you. There's other music that has good lyrics but not good music to it. Just be careful what you listen to, and let your music be that which would be done in the light, in a way that's befitting the royal King of Kings. This is what you were designed for. And here's a good question for you. When you're listening to music and you want to know whether this is something you should listen to or not, ask yourself this question. Would the angels be enjoying your music with you? God's elect angels? Would they be rejoicing and saying, boy, that's good stuff. Love it. I'll sing along with you. Or, that's marvelous. Or would they be going, think about it. Would the angels be rejoicing with you in your music? Because God wants you to sing. He wants your lives to be filled with music, and it is so powerful for you. So powerful. Think about David here before King Saul. King Saul, the spirit of the Lord departed from him, and an evil spirit from the Lord came upon King Saul. And they said, quick, we must find someone who plays the harp. And they found David, and he came in and he played before the Lord. And when he sang before the Lord, before King Saul, what happened? The evil spirit departed from Saul and went into another place. It drives away the devil. Good music does. Is there another example of good music? Powerful? Elisha here, he wanted to prophesy. He says, bring me a minstrel, someone who can play the harp. And as soon as the harp was played, all of a sudden he's prophesying, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him through the music. It's very powerful, good stuff. Jehoshaphat is just a few people facing an army that they can't fight against. And Jehoshaphat said, here's what we'll do. We're going to send out the singers ahead of our army. Not the scouts, not the Green Berets, not the Navy SEALs. The singers are going to go first. And they praised the Lord, and they went before the army praising the Lord. And by the time they got to the enemy army, God had set an ambush, and the whole of the enemy army was gone. Just because of the music, God answered their call. The walls of Jericho fell down those years ago on account of trumpets. And the people gave a great shout, and the walls came tumbling down on account of music of God's people marching upwards. Beautiful. And Paul and Silas were in prison and in chains, and they sang hymns to the Lord. And there was a great earthquake, and the chains fell off. The doors were opened. And then the prisoner, the guard, comes down and says, oh, what must I do to be saved? And he gets saved. Is there power in music? God wants you to sing great music. There is the jailer. So when you enter his presence with praise, he enters your circumstances with power. So the music you listen to, I'm just saying today, be wise, because it's going to affect your soul. You know, musicians and movie stars all know this stuff. They play music in order to change your emotional state. So put into yourself, and be very careful what you listen to, the music that's going to lift your hearts to God, to noble things, to love of other people, to love of the truth. Have music that lifts you up like a butterfly and makes you up there in the sky, and not the kind that the devil gives that makes you a slug down in the mud and brings and arouses your passions. Beware of music that arouses your sinful passions. Be the kind, have the kind that lifts your hearts like an eagle up to heaven and to God. That's what music is for. And lastly, I'll just say this. Jesus, as we mentioned a moment ago, he went to the cross singing a hymn. The Last Supper, it says after that was over, when they'd sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, comforting his disciples with a song and encouraging his own heart with a song. And on the cross, he had a song in his heart. He just sung it. And when he rose again from the dead, he also had a song in his heart, because Chronicles says, sing to the Lord all the earth, tell of his salvation from day to day. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So God says, you are a musical people. Fill your lives with music, but make it the music that is pleasing to my angels, that's pleasing to me, and lift your hearts up by means of it. And finally, this is the last slide here. Do you know that God himself plans to sing over you, and he even already is? He sings over you in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of your sins, his perfect salvation, that you're his own royal sons and daughters, and he is a glorious heaven for you. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Amen.